course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not too shabby. Can't complain, as always. Just a little weird thing I found the other day. Found a little voodoo shop downtown. At least I think it's a voodoo shop. Think I'm going to buy something from there and see what happens.
Okay. Well, let us know. Keep us updated on that one. And that leads into what we're doing today. We are reviewing the movie Obsession. We'll be doing that in just a little bit. But before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
I guess that maybe wasn't a voodoo shop. Maybe just like a spirituality shop, but close enough.
Yeah.
Basically voodoo.
It had crystals and all that.
But let's see. What else did I watch this week? Well, I've been keeping up on From, because like I said, they were releasing that weekly. Watching Euphoria, that's been interesting, which isn't horror. And honestly, I started rewatching Cobra Kai because I haven't seen some of the later seasons. That's been fun. But that's not horror related, but I do like Cobra Kai and Karate Kid. That's a good time.
Yeah, those are fun. I do enjoy Cobra Kai. Super excited because I think tonight, as we record this, or today, it'll be out the series finale of The Boys, I believe. And super excited about that. So otherwise, no, I didn't watch anything either. Just doing my Star Trek watch through in The Next Generation. And then Supernatural, as always. Oh, and The 100. I'm still watching The 100. Slowly but surely.
Oh, yeah.
But all right, then. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have news, birthdays, and all of that fun stuff. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off here, Curry Barker, the writer and director of Obsession, recently said he would love to continue within the film's world, whether it be a series or sequel through the One Wish Willow, telling other stories of wishes gone wrong. We'll obviously talk a little bit more about all of this because, you know, we did review this movie this week, but as far as him doing more movies in the universe, 100% would be on board with that. Weirdly enough, and this is sort of a fun little thing that's been popping up lately, Curry Barker was actually a YouTuber before he did the movie. So he used to make YouTube videos and stuff, like comedy sketches. He I would say he was pretty popular, but he's kind of following in the steps of the Philippou brothers who did Talk to Me and Bring Her Back.
The Mark guy with Iron Lung.
Mark Fishbach or Markiplier who did Iron Lung, and then Kane Pixels who's doing the Backrooms movie at the end of the month. But anyways, 100%. I would love to see Curry Barker make some more stuff in this universe. Really, I think you could go in a lot of different directions with this One Wish Willow because there almost seems to be no limits to its abilities. At least based on what we know so far. So I think you could really do some pretty crazy genre bending stuff, you know, get into like some sci-fi. And I think that could be cool.
Yeah. In the talk, he said that it indicated that he was fairly sure there would be another movie. There'd be a sequel. He didn't say it, but he's like, yeah, probably, maybe, I don't know, you know, but so I think given the success of the movie, it's done really well. It didn't have much of a budget and it is, you already turned a huge profit.
Yeah.
I think there'll be another movie. I love the concept of a series with this because it would work perfect. Like he said, right? The One Wish Willow, all these different, each one's a different story of someone with the One Wish Willow and their wishes and gone wrong or maybe go bad, you know, or gone good or what. I mean, you can do whatever you want with it. But there's obviously, right? This is a thing, this One Wish Willow. This is what we saw in the movie. It's not the only wish. It's not the only instance of this.
Yeah.
It would be so cool to have a series that shows, you know, some of these other. I mean, and again, you could do, I mean, whatever you want with it, right? There's not no limit to your creativity with this thing because, but it can be cool. Yeah, it can be really, really good and work. But we'll see. I'm greedy. I hope we get both, right? I hope we do get a sequel movie and then we get a series as well. Why not? I mean, it would be great. So.
Yeah, I feel like a good way to do it is if they did like a series that kind of expanded upon the lore, and then maybe did like a prequel series about where the One Wish Willows came from or something like that, like a prequel movie.
Yeah.
But
And I also
yeah.
want, again, I hope it's not too spoiled. I don't think this is all, but I want to know because in the movie, they're able to contact someone to try to get information about the One Wish Willow. I'm not
Right.
gonna, I won't be more specific. I want to know who are these people? Who are the people that you're contacting? Let's know more about them. There's so many things you could do.
You really could, and to be fair though, they do sh that part is in the trailer, so that's not too much of a
Okay.
spoiler.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought
there is
so,
a
but I always try to be careful, but yeah.
because the, in like the early teasers, it's like the main guy on the phone with like the customer support. He's like, "Can I alter my wish?"
Yeah.
Right? So
And it's
that
so
yeah.
funny because it's like the person he calls is just like it's just like standard tech support kind of stuff. It's like, can't really do that. I don't, did you try this? Well, I don't know. Sorry. It's like the guy could not care any less. And
Right.
okay, so we'll cut that off again. We're going to talk more about Obsession, but I'm very excited about this. Yeah, I think, I mean, hell, given the concept of the movie and that it doesn't center so much around a character as an object, those
Yeah.
kind of movies, you can do virtually anything you want with it.
You really can. Sky's the limit, really.
Beyond the sky. Who cares? It's a wish.
But all right, that's enough about Obsession for now. We will circle back. Oh yeah, true. That's true. But enough about Obsession. We will come back to this because we are obsessed with Obsession. But we will move on to our next thing. Speaking of Markiplier, Mark Fishblock, however you know him, Iron Lung will be available to purchase exclusively on YouTube beginning May 31st. There's actually a fun thing that happened with this whole thing. Originally, Mark was going to try and market this to one of the many streaming services, and he figured that his whole platform is on YouTube, so he figured why don't I just put it on YouTube? And at first, YouTube was not going to allow him to do it because they typically don't deal directly with the people who own these movies. They typically deal with like a studio or some sort of like middleman who kind of facilitates all the rights and whatnot. So YouTube, basically, because of how popular Mark is, made an exception for him. And Mark even had to talk to like the CEO of YouTube to like get this to go through. Because he was like, I think that you should be able to just take the movie from me, pay me directly, and then like the movie is available to be streamed. So this is kind of this is kind of unheard of. This is sort of a new grounds for YouTube, and I think that it's going to be beneficial because I think that this will open up the gateway for future independent filmmakers to use YouTube as an official avenue to sell their movie. So, which is exciting.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, again, it works, it fits. He is truly cashing in on this movie. And I'm not saying that's his
He
objective, but
is.
I'm just saying he is maximizing his control, his profit, his whatever of this movie and you know where it is, where it's released, and it's pretty cool, right? It's nice to see a creator have the power, right? It was such a success that it gave him so much in his previous success on the platform. Like you said, it gave him leverage, gave him power, gave him a great negotiating point to control his path, right? It's nice to see the creators have that control and that strength instead of the ones, you know, dangling them along and pulling the strings. So
Yeah.
very cool.
And it's also weird because there is going to be a physical media release of this movie. And he basically bought like a device to burn and to create the DVDs himself. So he's going to be releasing the DVDs himself. He's not going through like a distributor. Like he himself is doing that too, which is
That's
honestly
wild.
insane.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would want to do that, but I mean, listen, more power to him.
I mean, it's the, I guess, it's the whole, hey, you give a little more investment, a little more time, whatever, up front, and you end up with more control and profit on the back end. And perhaps he's thinking more long term, right? He's got to sink a little money into it to get a physical iron, release for Iron Lung right now. But what about a next project? The project after that, where he's already then in the position to do it again, right? He's already got this negotiated deal with YouTube as a standard for him, and now he's got the whatever the means to make his own physical. So now he's more in control of his future projects. So I, it's quite the little path he's burning here, and I like it. I hope more people, do this and have this level of success, and creators can be in control of their product and still make money from it.
Absolutely. But we will see. We'll see what happens. The future is bright for Mark, and can't wait to see what happens next. And but all right. We got those two bits out of the way. We have one more piece of news, which is also very exciting. When we talk about legacy, George A. Romero is quite the one to speak about. But when he passed away, he was developing his final zombie movie, Twilight of the Dead. And it is going to be coming to life, starring Kate Beckinsale, directed by the Paz brothers. At this time, no release date is available. This is obviously exciting. I know that there had been some rumorings that his estate and his family were basically trying to tie up some loose ends with some of his final projects and stuff. So it'll be exciting to see this one come to fruition, and hopefully things will settle up nicely, and the movie will be good. Kate Beckinsale is obviously like a not a B movie actress, so that is certainly promising that there's some heat behind this, some money behind this, and maybe we'll get a pretty substantial movie that is actually good. Because I think one of the great things and one of the bad things about the whole George Romero series is that a lot of people have made a lot of remakes and quote unquote sequels to previous movies. And some of them are great, some of them are bad, but I think that this will be fun to kind of get another Romero movie posthumously, but still in the same spirit.
I think it'll be, good, because I think the estate will be protective of it, and so it'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully they invest some money in it, some time into it, do it right. Let's get a nice theatrical release for it. Let's use this as a not only a way to get another good movie, but as a way to just honor George A. Romero again and say one last time. I mean, he'll never be forgotten, right, and all this and that, but I mean, just one more time in the theater, big production, big release, and everything else, just to tip our hat to what he did and what he's what he did for the genre and for, I mean, zombies are zombies because of George A. Romero. It
Oh, yeah.
he has helped define them, and I know there's offshoots and different takes, but at its core, it's Romero, and he's the king. So yeah, it's nice. Hopefully this all turns out well, and hopefully this is not just something we talk about now and it's forgotten later. Gets tangled up, but who knows? We'll see. Hoping for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely hoping for the best. But all right, that does it for our news. So we have some upcoming birthdays. We got a bunch of these. Starting us off on May 23rd, 1969, we have Felisa Rose, of course, known for her role in Sleepaway Camp, as well as many, 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 many other projects and cameos. Felisa Rose is a definitely has a passion for this industry, and she continues to show that every time because she still shows up on the independent circuits and she shows up for these different companies and everything else, doing cameos, doing conventions, and. I mean, she was just, I can't say just because it was a couple of years ago now, but she was a Terrifier too. And, that was pretty exciting to see. And she was also in Scream, and You know, there's just so much stuff that she does, and I think it truly is for the love of the game because obviously she's being compensated for her time, but she is not being, I mean, she's not making billions off this, you know what I mean? So she is truly doing this because she loves horror and she loves the industry.
I mean, again, every time Felisa Rose comes up, whether it be her birthday, whether it be a movie anniversary, whatever, everybody knows I swoon. Everybody knows I love Felisa Rose, that I crush on Felisa Rose. Everybody knows that, don't get me wrong, I love all the scream queens out there, but Felisa Rose is my queen. And she is just so fantastic. I love Sleepaway Camp. I love all the little bits she's done. I love her attitude, her approach, her social media presence. She's so nice. It's just she's wonderful. I mean, I had an encounter at a convention with her where she was finishing a panel and leaving as I was going into a room for another panel, and she was still kind of hanging around talking, and I sat down, and she it was kind of near her, and she kind of just included us in the conversation that she was having, like, because we were there and close enough, and she was joking and said a few things, and it only lasted a couple of minutes, but it was just pretty cool, right? That she was still paying attention to the fans even when she was supposed to be going on to something else. So, I could talk forever. Love Felisa Rose. Probably one of the tip top dream interviews of mine for us to do. Fingers crossed, maybe someday, who knows? Maybe it'll happen. But I could swoon on Felisa Rose all day.
No, she's pretty great. Like I said, I mean, she does it for the love of the game. I mean, she shows up to these conventions and she really shows up for her fans. And you can't say that about a lot of people in this industry. So I give her major kudos. And obviously, she's so great in Sleepaway Camp, especially for that young. You know what I mean? Like, she really made an impression on the horror industry by just playing her character the way she did. So I guess happy birthday, Felisa. Hope you're doing well. And we will jump to our next one, which is again another really iconic, legendary actor. May 16th of 1913, we have, of course, Peter Cushing, known for his roles.
May 26th.
Yeah, May 26th, 1913. Peter Cushing, my bad. Of course, known for his role in various Hammer horror movies, and of course, he was Grand Admiral Tarkin
Yeah,
in Star Wars.
Grand Moff Tarkin. Yeah.
Grand Moff Tarkin. No, I was thinking about Admiral Thrawn, which is the blue guy, different guy.
Yeah, he's great too. Yeah.
Oh man, I love Peter Cushing, and it's so weird that he was in the ones like he was in Star Wars, and obviously he passed away like at some juncture after that because he was pretty old in Star Wars. He was like
He was,
70, wasn't he?
he was great in Hammer. He played a few different things, but he was, and a grand majority of it played Van Helsing through a lot of their movies. But yeah, I mean, and dude, Tarkin was so great because he was so looked so formal and stoic and everything. But if you look back at it, Tarkin was like had control of Vader, right? Vader respected Tarkin, and so that shows something there. But yeah, Peter Cushing was great. He has such a great catalog of work.
May 27, 1911, we have Vincent Price. So this is again a very iconic and legendary character. So we have Peter Cushing, and then immediately to Vincent Price. And holy shit, the next one's iconic too. Holy crap. So Vincent Price, of course, known for the original House of Wax, House on Haunted Hill, many things. I mean, he's done just so much. Vincent Price is again just so much. But crazy. And a lot of his movies have been remade, which is weird too.
Did the opening little thing to the Thriller song?
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, done all kinds of stuff. Pretty cool. An icon.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of icons, again, it's weird that all three of these were around the same time, but May 27th of 1922, we have Christopher Lee, of course, known for his role as Dracula in Hammer Horror. Christopher Lee was also in Howling 2, Your Sister's a Werewolf, which is a great movie, or otherwise known as Howling 2, Stairvel, She-Bitch. I mean, wow.
Count Dooku
Count Dooku, he was also
in Lord of the
what are we,
Rings.
Saruman the White, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But oh man, so good. Love Christopher Lee.
He was great. These three are just Mount Rushmore of British horror actors. So actually, I don't know. Vincent Price, I don't think is actually British. My bad.
May as well be.
Yeah. My
He
bad.
was very he was very what's the word? He just seems very proper.
Yes. Yes, was. But it's funny that these very proper guys did this horror stuff. But
No, absolutely.
they brought that. Sometimes that's what you need, right? You need, it's like having these guys in like Star Wars, along with, Sir Alec Guinness being in Star Wars. It's these very well accomplished, trained, respected actors in there, and it automatically it gives you your movie some seriousness and credibility right off the bat just from them being in it.
True. I was going to say, Alec McGinnis, of course, being Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi. But, all right. I think that does it for all the legends. I think this person is a legend in their own right, perhaps.
Oh yeah, she's a legend too.
May 27th of 1958, we have Linnea Quigley, known for her role in Return of the Living Dead and Night of the Demons. I love Return of the Living Dead. That's a classic zombie movie. Definitely not the standard zombie movie that we all kind of know and love. Definitely has a little bit of that flair for being a little bit different, and
So good though.
so good. So is very good.
So good. One of my favorite movies. And yeah, and she was so good in it. So she's definitely a legend. She's a scream queen. She's right up there. Although that's a peculiar phrase to me, scream queen. I don't know. I, whatever. She's just a remarkable actress who did some remarkable work.
Very true. Very true. But all right. That does it for our birthday. So we have a couple of anniversaries. We have May 23rd, 1980. We have The Shining. Obviously The Shining's great. It exists as a very timeless horror movie, and a thriller to boot. But I mean, Jack Nicholson's great in that movie. Everyone's great in that movie, but obviously Nicholson playing the primary antagonist or protagonist, however you want to look at it. Yeah, I love this movie. It's great. I haven't watched it in a little while, but the sequel's pretty good too, Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know, we praise on it every time it comes up and something, but yeah, I love The Shining. It's a great movie that just never gets old, and but remarkably, Stephen King does not like it.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that he is not a huge fan of that interpretation.
That's why they did the little mini series later, is because he wanted something different. But he did say he has always said The Shining's a very personal book to him. Take that for what you will. I don't know, in what way, I don't know. But so he's
One of his
really, I
crack,
guess,
one of his coke benders, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, but he I don't know. I guess he doesn't like this take on it. But whatever. I love it. And to each their own. The series, the mini series thing or whatever is it's pretty good too. So it's what whatever. It's to me not this, but so we got two pretty good things, a great movie and a pretty good series out of it. So whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Can't complain too much, I guess. I'm sure he's still liking the money he gets from
Sure.
it. So, but speaking of movies from this era, this is actually right around
Oof.
the same time.
Oof, oof. One of my favorites.
Oh yeah, this is a good one. May 27th of 1988, we have Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Oh man, such a good movie. This one's even one that Kayla likes. I remember I showed this to her not too long ago, and she quite liked this. She thought it was fun.
So good. So good. What are you going to do with those pies, boys? It's so good. As I sit here and I look and I have my Killer Clown cannon, rifle gun and handgun and replica pie. I love this movie so much. I can watch it at any time. I haven't watched it in, well, it's whatever, a couple months, which is a long time for me. It's always, I end up popping it on at some point, but yeah, I need to rewatch it again for who knows whatever the 100th time, but. And I absolutely love the fact that it's got a game now, and the merchandising is really all over the place with it now. I mean, there's
Oh yeah.
figures and pops and replicas and cost. I just love that it's out there so much now. It's because it's so good. Love it. Fucking got the Killer Clown song by the Dickies is one of the oh so good, such a good song. Perfect perfect for it. And just, and even if you just take it out of the movie, it's just a great song, but it fits the
That's
movie so
true.
well. Fuck, I can't enough. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that I love the clowns.
They say he's down to clown, but yeah, no, it's I do like the color clowns. It's one of those movies that you watch and you're just like, wow, that actually aged pretty well. But no, I do. I love that movie. And I actually we were gonna rewatch it because we were doing one of those because we had these little things that Caleb made for me. They're like dinner ideas.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so but they're based on horror movies. And the last one I picked was actually a killer clowns. So it was gonna be fair food. So I think we're traveling next week or this coming week. So when we come back, I think we're gonna try and make some fair food for and watch Killer Clowns. So I'm
I mean,
excited.
it's got to have a cream pie, right? I mean, come on, how could you? If it's not there, that's a travesty. It's like you got to have a cream pie.
Well, so I actually thought about doing that, but I think the dessert we chose, we're gonna do popcorn and cotton candy.
Well, those are both
Is
very important to the movie too.
you know, I was gonna say both of them are very important. So, but no, I love Killer Clowns. So much fun. It's iconic.
Definitely.
But all right. I think that does it for our anniversaries. We need to stop talking about Killer Clowns before we get too crazy here. Moving on to our, we have one upcoming release, which is all you need. We have Passenger coming to theaters on May 22nd, and it is described as after a young couple witnesses a gruesome highway accident, they soon realize that they did not leave the crash scene alone. A demonic presence called the Passenger won't stop until it claims them both. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Obviously, this has been in and out of like some of the previews and stuff that we've been seeing. So I'm very excited to see this because I think it's going to be extremely good. I think this is going to be one of the best movies of the year. Same with The Backrooms, and I would even say the movie we were reviewing today probably is up there with them. But yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, that trailer, I've only seen the one. And again, I've seen it in front of a couple movies. It doesn't look like it's got a lot to do with the story wise of the movie, but it has some ridiculous scary jump scare, creepy. I mean, just from that trailer, it's pretty intense. And it's like I knew nothing more than just seeing that trailer, I was like, yeah, I want to see this. So yeah, I'm excited. Can't wait.
Me too. All right. That does it for all of our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We will have a quick break here, but when we come back, we will have our official review of Obsession. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, we're back here on Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Obsession. Written and directed by Curry Barker, starring Indy Navarre, Michael Johnston, Cooper Tomlinson, Megan Lawless, and others. It was released May 15th in theaters, and it grossed $17,196,855 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number three. And I think this movie, from what I heard, I think it was made for, it was less than 10 million. I don't know. It was way less, I think. It was, did not have much of a, you know, a very big budget. It's already turned a huge profit. Again, we talked a little about it earlier, right? And everybody knows, has seen anything, knows, right? Kind of the central piece to the movie is the one wish willow that drives this whole thing. I don't want to get into very many details, but to say, let me just say this. Indy Navarre, or however you say her name, right? Played, I can't remember her name in the movie. She was the main girl.
Nikki.
Nikki. Yeah, that's it. Right, Nikki. And my God, she blew my mind. She was so, her alone You can take pretty much everything else in the movie, and she creeped the hell out of me just alone by her facials, her mannerisms, the way she shifted from one thing to the next to sell this thing. It was an absolute work of art on her performance. It was remarkable. Michael Johnston, who was the main guy, did an absolutely unreal, amazing job of reacting to those situations, which is what he needed to do in some of these moments. There was so much. This movie was so damn creepy. It was so intense. I don't know. There was just some move. It's not, I don't know. I want to say cringe. It's not really cringe, but there's some moments that just kind of make you uncomfortable, right? Not because it's like in a gross way or anything, just the situations. And it's funny because we've been on this roll, right? We talked about Dolly. We talked about Hokum and these movies and how much we love them. I like this movie even better. This movie was wonderful to me. I'd have to go back to check. I haven't thought through everything we've watched. This is one of my favorites, if not my favorite movie we've seen this year. This movie was so good. It hit on all the nerves. Had a ridiculously cool ending to it that just kept the uneasiness going for me. Man, I loved it. And the supporting guys, right? Cooper, Tomlinson, and Megan Lawless were the other two main kind of characters in this group. Did a wonderful job too. They were so thing. I'm telling you, the one scene with Nikki and was her name Sarah? Is that the other girl's name? I think it was
Yeah, I
Sarah.
think so.
The one there's one scene involving these two in the car or with a car, blew my mind. Did not see it coming at that moment. Did not where I thought it was going. It's one of those movies where you're watching it and you get to a point and you think, oh, I know where this is going. This is so predictable. Yeah, no. Not for me at least. Where I thought it was gonna go to this predictable ending, because that's a lot of movies are doing that, it seems like, here lately. And where I thought it would end up, nah, didn't go that way. I loved this movie. It's a movie that I literally could just put on again right now and rewatch. It was so good. And I again, we talked about it earlier. I so hope they do something else, another movie, a series. I don't care. Just do something else. This cannot be a one and done, because there's too much there that they could continue this on. So, Mr. Barker did a fantastic job here. Fantastic job of this movie. Hats off. Wonderful. This won't be the last time we talk about Obsession this year, because no doubts this will be part of our conversation. I cannot imagine for one of our favorite movies of the year at the end of the year. I can't imagine it's not in the discussion. We would have to have some unbelievably hellacious movies the rest of this year to knock this out of even the conversation. So, and I know I said the same shit about Dolly and Hokum, and I thought they're great. And then there's this one. I'm like, geez, it's like they, I don't know. It's a nice little streak it's going right now. I thought, early in the year with some of the movies and there's some releases, we talked about some disappointments, right? Not quite what we wanted. They didn't commit. They kind of came up short and did the safe things in some spots. And then here, all of a sudden, we've had these three movies particularly, and there might be others. I don't know. But these three right here's, in the moment that we've had these past couple episodes that have went and committed and went all the way and knew what they were doing, did it, and they are fantastic movies. Obsession is a wonderfully fantastic movie. Cannot recommend it enough. Sorry, I've rambled, Ike. Tell us what you think of Obsession.
Yeah, absolutely. The bad thing about this movie is that like anything that I would really want to talk about is definitely spoilers.
Yeah, I know.
There's so much good stuff that happens in this movie. But no, I do want to say first and foremost that the casting on this movie was just absolutely phenomenal. Sometimes when you watch movies, you're like, okay, yeah, these people are pretty good. And then there's sometimes you're like, yeah, maybe that person was good, main character was good, but side characters didn't really do much. But this movie was completely not like that. Like you said, I think everybody had any sort of prominent role absolutely killed it. Like, I don't think that there was a single weak role in this movie, which is really hard to say, especially in today's day and age where people just get cast to cast people.
Yeah, there's a couple of these characters, these primary four, that initially you're watching, you kind of think, oh, they're there, the support, they're doing a good job, but they become more crucial later in the movie, which was pretty cool. It's like they set it up to play a little bit more impactful, have some more impactful moments than you would expect later in the movie.
100%. That's what I was going to say, is that a lot of the people that you kind of saw on the side, they were people that, like, normally in a movie like this probably wouldn't have much of a role, if any. But then, like, in this case, you watch and you're like, okay, wow, like, not only are you a pretty integral side character from the beginning to kind of set the exposition, right? The exposition being that, I mean, I guess it's not a spoiler. There's some love involved, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of these side characters kind of are used as exposition to set up that sort of beginning romance, quote unquote. And that's all I'm going to say. But then they obviously become a lot more important to some of the more nefarious things that kind of come to pass. And I think that a lot of times, like we said, you know, you had the side characters. Sometimes they don't really do a whole lot, or not necessarily they don't do a whole lot, but their characters aren't really projected to do much, right? Yeah.
I even dug the music shop owner and the little whatever, the witch shop owner, whatever, the crystal shop owner, who didn't have very big parts at all, but they had very well developed characters that in those scenes kind of helped advance that story up a little notch. Even though they didn't play integral parts, I still feel like they were important, and I completely like their roles and parts in them too.
No, absolutely. I was gonna say, I feel like everyone who was cast, like, really, like, sunk their roles. Like, they were just like, let's go, let's do this. And yeah, I don't know. It's just so weird because a lot of times you watch movies and it's just not like that. But no, I think beyond just the casting, I think the direction and the writing, everything about this movie really just holds up. And one thing that I do love about this movie is that it is sort of a criticism, right? It has a little bit of meta-ness to it. The idea, because I'm sure you've heard of, like, the whole concept of, like, what's it called? Like, it's a criticism of, like, the whole, like, the quote-unquote male loneliness epidemic online. I don't know if you've heard about this.
No, what is that?
So there's this whole idea. I'm sure people have heard the term incel. So there's it's kind of, it's not really political, it's more of like a anthropological issue where there's a group of people who basically don't have companionship of any kind, and they try and place blame where blame is not meant to be placed. And this movie is basically a criticism of that, basically saying that, like, there's a lot more to it than just, oh, I can't find a companion. It is, people don't want companionship. They want obsession, which is not healthy. Yeah. And it makes sense. The movie's called Obsession. But without getting into all, like, the nitty-gritty, the politics of it, it's a very, very, very prudent shot at the current realm of the internet space. And I think it's great. And beyond that, the movie's just fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's great to have meaning. Like, you know, we talked about George Romero earlier. It's great to have meaning, but sometimes it's okay for the movie to just be fun. But this had both.
It just, seeds keep popping in my head as we talk. And it's just, and again, I'm not going to go into spoilers, but I can't remember the friend's name, Cooper Tomlinson's, I can't remember his name either, which was the other guy in the group. When Michael Johnson's character, the main character, goes to him to try to get him to help stop this, because there's a way that he can help stop it. That whole scene cracks me up in the end because of, Cooper doesn't believe him. So he's just like, oh, okay, well, then this. And something happens. It was really funny in the moment. But it was also, it was funny, but there was also like, well, oh shit, there went that. And it was humorous.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't, it's just such a good movie. And as we talk through it, again, these scenes keep popping in my head, and it's like, oh, I want to talk about it so bad, but I don't want to ruin any of that for someone else. We don't do spoilers anyway, but with this one, it's just so crucial, because that's what makes the movie. You have to see it for yourself. And again, talking about some of this, that won't do it justice. You can't, you have to see them. You have to see the reactions, the facials, the way it's portrayed, the way they did it. Talking wouldn't even do it justice. So it just has to be seen. So,
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
all right. Again, love this movie. Again, I'm going to just give it the flat out super strong 4 out of 5. I was so tempted to go a little bit more, but I thought, I don't know. I just don't. I'm so leery to go higher than a 4 with the movie. And while this was an absolutely fantastic movie, I just don't think I can do higher. But it is a solid, strong 4. There was never a doubt in my mind about giving it a 4. To me, it is one of the best, if not the best movie of the year so far, in my opinion. So good. So good. So a solid 4 out of 5 screams for me. Ike, what are you rating it?
So in this case, I would also agree with a whole 4. I was tempted to go a little higher, but I think that I don't know. Like you said, it's I feel like I need like a really like absolute blowout of a movie, and this one was really good and definitely better than a lot of the things that we've been watching lately. No shot against any of those movies, but this movie definitely lives up to its name. It makes a lot of sense. And it's just, yeah, it's very, very good. I think a 4 out of 5, a solid 4 out of 5 is 100% where it needs to be.
Absolutely, definitely. People go see Obsession. Such a good movie. So much fun to see. If you love horror, this is the kind of movie. This is one of the reasons why you love it. This movie captures it all. Anyway, great movie. As we said, I'm very hopeful for next episode that this little streak we're on is going to continue because we are going to be reviewing the movie Passenger, which we previewed a little earlier. Sounds like another great movie. Hopefully, they deliver as well because I think we're riding high right now, and I'm liking this. So again, that comes next episode. Before we close out, we'd like to say thank you to our wives and all of our listeners and followers for all your support through everything we do. Speaking of following, make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number Two Screams, and you will find us. We're there. We're on all the platforms. Go seek it out. We post other stuff besides what we talk about and everything else. So I think we're a good follow on social media. So before we close out, Ike, anything else you want to add?
Oh man, yeah. I think really the big thing is just keep supporting horror. I mean, it's crazy, but like, we're getting so many good horror movies in theaters. We're getting a lot of creators who are being given opportunities and chances, and a big part of that is because us, the fans, are going out there. We're continuing to support these films. We're continuing to want these movies to be made. And beyond anything else, it's crazy that like we're seeing what's happening, especially the whole YouTuber thing. I know I mentioned earlier, but like, Curry Barker was a YouTuber, Markiplier, YouTuber, King Pixels, the guy who's doing Backrooms, YouTuber, the Philippou brothers who made Talk to Me and Bring Her Back, YouTubers. You could even go as far to say Zach Krieger, who made Barbarian and who's going to be making the Resident Evil movie. He was also a YouTuber. He did the Whitest Kids back in the early 2000s. It's just crazy that all these people have kind of made the jump to making movies, and they're doing such a good job at it. And oh man, I'm just so excited for the future. I'm so excited for people to continue to make movies, and I don't know, hopefully we'll get some more amazing people out of the YouTube sphere.
Absolutely. Definitely. Like I said, it's important to go support horror, but right now I'm telling you, it's easy. It's easy
It
to
is.
support horror because there's so much out there. And again, it's so good. I mean, it's easy. You're not like you're struggling through bad movies just to keep up the cause. Now these are great movies. So this is a fun, golden, easy time to support horror. And hopefully we're a part of your support of horror. Hopefully you enjoy our conversations. And we would like you to participate, right? This can be interactive. So make sure you subscribe to us on social media, like we said, and comment, share everything else. We'd like to hear from you. And we'll reply, right? We're pretty open, pretty cool. We're easy to talk to. We like to talk, as you can tell. We get caught up on Killer Clowns and Felisa Rose all the time, and we like to talk. So comment, talk horror. We're here. So You'll hear our voices again next week. Like we said, we'll be reviewing Passenger. But until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.